Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness brought to you by Global Schoolwear. School uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger and Lower Extremity LER Review Magazine and MVP Parent Magazine. Quick shout out, Bruce Merrin, Celebrity Speakers. Excited to be part of that. Bruce is one of the pioneers. His first sports-related people he worked with were Muhammad Ali and Jackie Robinson. By the way, everybody, good luck to us. Happy Stress Awareness Month. We got a great doubleheader today. Teresa Power, she's a best-selling author. She's the founder of the National and International Kids Yoga Day. They just celebrated their seventh anniversary. She returns along with Barbie Engel, chronic pain educator. She's a patient advocate, an author, speaker, and she is the president of the International Pain Foundation and the Sports Doctors Inn with some Bob Guida wisdom, upcoming shows, emails. Teresa Power, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Bob. I'm so excited to be back with you.
Give some background on yourself and the phenomenon of the Kids Awareness Days.
Well,
yoga.
I think you know this, Dr. Bob, that I am an attorney, and I started practicing law, 38 years ago, and that's when I first started practicing yoga, and I got a little disillusioned with law school and the practicing law, so that's when I decided to get certified to teach yoga, eventually teaching yoga to kids, and then 7 years ago, creating International Kids Yoga Day. And you and I have known each other for around 6 or 7 years. I think you were with me with the start of Kids Yoga Day.
Yes, I was. It's one of the great exciting parts of the Sports Doctors. I can't tell you how many great things we've kicked off, books we've launched, ideas. Yours, of course, was one of them that became very, very near and dear to us, the idea of introducing children to the incredible benefits of yoga, both physically and mentally. And I think, again, the event has become a big deal. Talk us about the participation in the seventh anniversary.
Okay, so we had our seventh annual Kids Yoga Day. It's the first Friday every April. And so we had 33 countries, 43 states, and 23,000 kids all around the world practicing yoga. I mean, we had Canada, Brazil, Central America, Europe, Asia, Africa, Australia, New Zealand, all of these various countries were participating. And I just wanted to share on the side such a heartwarming story about Ukraine. So we had an ambassador sign up from Ukraine who was a yoga teacher there. And then all of a sudden the war happened in Ukraine. So we reached out to her and asked her if she needed any help. And she said that she was on the border living with her, you know, in a hotel with her 5-year-old son. They were safe, but she wanted to move to Spain because she spoke Spanish. So we reached out to our ambassador network, and someone from Istanbul knew someone in Spain, and they helped her get out of Ukraine, and now she has a job in Spain and has all these connections. So I thought, wow, besides just, you know, coordinating yoga for kids, we're also connecting people all over the world that care about teaching yoga to kids. So I just thought that was, you know, quite a story.
It's a great story. That's a great story. Again, yoga's been around for thousands of years. It's interesting as the over the past X amount of decades, it's become much more widely accepted in high performance sports of all types at all levels. And when, you know, years ago, it was thought about being a little bit too much guru in some way, shape or form. This is too spiritual for me. And it ends up that side of it, the mental anti-stress side, relaxation side, you know, let alone for the rest of us, but for children, becomes a tremendous important component.
And the fact that it can be done quite safely, which is so important, I think was news to a lot of us in child physical education.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. Everything that you said, and we've had this discussion in the past about people do think that it's, you know, originates from India, so therefore there's something, you know, religious about it or whatever they're going to try to say. But people are really realizing that it's, I like to call it mindful movement. It's kids that are, and that's the key, and you and I also have talked about this, that it has to be safe for the kids, and that's where the mindfulness comes in. You teach the kids to really focus on their bodies, feel their bodies, so that they are safe doing the exercises.
Yes, and the idea, again, that both physically as well as mentally, and you know, the question whether the kids would be paying attention, whether they would enjoy it. All of these things were questions that you know and I talked about when you first, you know, started this whole venture. And I guess around the world, there's tremendous acceptance. You know, mind, body, the word mindfulness, 20 years ago, medicine didn't know how to spell it, let alone sports medicine. Now, what I call on the sports doctor, the mental game, whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether you're their coach, whether you're the parents of young athletes, whether you're a coach of whether you're trying to stick to your exercise program, stick with the diet, et cetera, there's such a huge mental component that now has 10 times the value in all sorts of areas, which I think has made acceptance, especially in the drug-oriented United States, you know, much, much more prevalent. Everybody, you're listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you can go back years, listen to what you'd like, what were the topics, international, national, local guests. You go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you can read an array of topics with some of the work we do with MVP Parent Magazine, Low Extremity Review, continues to be my hottest article, Women in High Heels, Accepting the Challenge. So you can check that out. We're talking with Teresa Power, who former attorney, although I bet you those skills come in very, very handy in the whole idea of trying to organize something, this gigantic. That's got to be a real challenge. How has the both the school communities and the parents' communities adapted, Teresa, to your whole concept?
Well, that is a great question. And we had, besides just yoga teachers signing up, because we have people signing up as ambassadors that are going to be leading children through a simple 5-minute yoga routine on Kids Yoga Day. So we had 292 ambassadors, and I'd say at least half of them were parents, or over half were parents and schools, because a lot of schools are very interested in it. We've had schools that had like 1,000 students practicing yoga on that
day. I would hope so.
Yes. And so are the principals. And what they do is they and I have a very simple 5-minute yoga routine that I suggest they practice. It's very safe, and we give them all instructions on how to do everything. But they're welcome to do, you know, whatever they want to do as long as they're practicing yoga that day. But, yes, the schools are so supportive of the whole idea, and they see the difference in the kids.
How much time, you mentioned a 5-minute program, but if it was included in a physical education program, let's say in elementary school or even high school, would it be something that would be done over a 15, 20-minute or 30-minute session, like a regular session? Or is your point a 5-minute inclusion is what you're paying attention to?
Well, no, I mean, if you want to start incorporating it into the school day, I would suggest 30 minutes, right, at least, because then you're going to be able to do more exercise. But I just suggest 5 minutes just to show how just 5 minutes can do benefit the kids. Like, if they did even 5 minutes of yoga a day in school, it would be better than not doing it at all. And I have a formulated routine that is very safe and kind of warms up the body. I have standing pose routine, and then I have one that has poses that are on the floor. But if schools don't have yoga mats or whatever, you know, they can just do the standing pose routine.
Teresa, what's the best website for people to find out all sorts of information on the Kids Yoga Day?
Okay, it's very simple. It's kidsyogaday.com. So again,
kidsyogaday.com. Okay.
Yeah, very
and
simple.
Tell us about your book, The ABCs of Yoga for Kids, and your little mouse adventure series. I bet all of them are practicing yoga.
Yes, and I don't think I told you that I also have another book. It's called The Night Before Kids Yoga Day, and it is the send-up to the poem The Night Before Christmas. And basically, it's a read-aloud poem that gets kids excited about Kids Yoga Day. So that came out and has been very popular, and we're starting this new tradition where the night before Kids Yoga Day, I read on Zoom the book. And we're hoping parents will just buy the book and read it to their kids the night before Kids Yoga Day to get excited about it.
Right. They could do some children's stories at night. What ages do you include in your program for Kids Yoga Day?
Well, we include anywhere from 3 years old, the preschoolers, right, up until 18 years old. We had some participants that send us photos that had high school kids doing it. So it's universal. I mean, that's the interesting thing about the way that I've developed this program is that it really I have poses that are accessible to really young children as well as older children.
Now, again, especially when you get the input of the sports doctor, whether we're talking about kids who will be participating in sports at various levels, or you're talking about right now staring us in the face, this huge mental health challenge that all families, all schools, all of us are facing, then the idea, again, the educational challenge of the fact that adding a program like this to the kids, you know, again, I keep talking about how either, you know, physically on the left or mentally on the right, or even including competitive athletes, it seems like the timing is incredibly right here.
Oh, it is. I mean, this is the time, especially there's just so much stress, and kids pick up on the stress of their parents and everything else, and this is the time, and I think it's so important for schools to start incorporating it, and that's why I've written these books, and especially the one you're talking about earlier, the ABCs of Yoga for Kids, which is an alphabet dictionary of yoga poses for kids, and a lot of teachers will read the book to the kids, and let's say they're especially younger kids, let's say from preschool through kindergarten, first grade, that are still learning the alphabet and stuff, you can take these letters. For instance, there's poses for the letter D, dinosaur pose, dog, dolphin, and do nothing, right? So they can just read the little poems explaining how to do it. There's illustrations, and then they can show the kids how to do it.
How do you find the acceptance, Teresa, in, let's say, junior high school and high school? And again, I think any of these kids understand at this day and age, hey, the best athletes in the world do it, people, you know, that selling this would be much easier. But how's been the feedback, let's say, with adolescents?
Oh, adolescents love it. In fact, my son, when he, well, now he's 27, but when he was at Palisades High School, he took a yoga class there. Well, of course, because he was exposed to it through me, but a lot of his friends liked it. And that this is more than just the simplistic children's, you know, yoga that I teach. It's I teach kids of all ages, but my specialty happens to be young children. But the kids love it, and they feel better doing it. And also, I think what's really important is that a lot of these, like, tennis players, baseball players, basketball players, they're all endorsing yoga and saying that they do it. So kids are looking to these role models, right? And they're thinking, okay, if they're doing yoga and it's helping them, then it can help me, if that makes sense. Because I think it's
well,
important
it makes big
kids
sense.
To have good
Again,
role
as the, you know, the athletes like the famous Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Michael
I
Jordan,
did yoga with
so
him.
Many other great articles who you know, are athletes who, as a part of their, the idea of flexibility, the idea of control of body and muscle motion are all very, very big parts of any athletic activity. But again, you've mentioned it four or five times how these kids enjoy it, and that gets right smack into the middle of, number one, having something that the kids will not be looking to quit or they don't want to do it, and number two, having them really, really benefit, again, because being able to reduce stress, in children. This is a gigantic problem. What kind of numbers are you thinking about maybe for your 8th anniversary, Teresa?
I want to have 1 million kids. This is my goal. Okay, although I could double it, so it would be instead of 23,000, let's go for 50,000. But if we want to go big, let's go for 1 million.
I hear you. You know, absolutely. I don't think there's a school. Once again, the challenge here is the educational, making schools and others aware of these of the kinds of benefits and the fact that you have these ambassadors who were floating around. And of course, you know, sports doctor Dr. Bob's one of your ambassadors.
Yes, you are one of my ambassadors. And I love the tie-in, too, because we have talked about before the tie-in with your feet, because I know it's very important to have the right structure, and with kids. But the thing is, with yoga, you really teach kids how to use their feet to center themselves while they're doing a lot of
yes.
the standing poses.
Yoga's
it's
done
so
barefoot. Yoga's done on mats with a gripping action. So, again, it doesn't matter what running, jumping activity a young boy or girl might be doing, but if we're talking about can I prevent injury, big deal, can I prevent problems, yoga is one of our big weapons, especially in growing bodies where it could be done very, very safely. So I think those are some of the things that make inclusion of these activities. But, it couldn't be a bigger time for the mental component. And, of course, the younger, the earlier you get started, expect that to make so much sense, including the families that these kids are part of.
And a lot of kids are, enjoying the yoga with their families. Like, they'll take these poses home and teach them to their parents who don't know anything about yoga. And I think that is amazing. And it's something that they can do together that does not involve a cell phone or, the internet or anything else. But it's just something that they can spend quality time together.
And it's not competitive. I knew the time would fly by with you, Teresa. Give me again the website everybody could find out about this fantastic program.
Okay, it's kidsyogaday.com.
Kidsyogaday.com.
Yes.
Teresa Power, founder of the National International Kids Yoga Day. Teresa, thank you so much. Hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parent's perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Everybody, Dr. Bob here.
LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Live from rainy, stormy Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. I want to welcome back Barbie Ingle. She's a real champion. She's a chronic pain educator, a patient advocate, author, speaker, and she is the president of the International Pain Foundation. Barbie, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Hey, Dr. Bob, I'm so glad to be back and really have enjoyed being on your show in the past and glad that you asked me back again. Thank you.
You know, it's one of the biggest topics in the country, pain management, pain pill nightmares, all of these things. And so give us some background on yourself and delving into the work that you do in the whole world of pain and pain management.
Sure. Well, I've been at it for about 20 years now, and I am a chronic pain patient myself. I have multiple diseases that involve pain, and I spent 7 years in a wheelchair. I had to search and find the treatment options that work best for me, and I encourage other people to do the same now. And at this point, I've published 9 books about health and chronic pain and navigating the health system. And I also am the president of International Pain Foundation, where we do education for patients, caregivers, and providers, awareness activities, social events for patients and their families because they isolate themselves. And then we also work on access to care, which is everything from peer-to-peer mentoring to working on legislation. So I've been doing a little bit of extra of that lately with the current
great
legislative
stuff.
Session in full
yeah, Barbie,
swing right
how
now.
Long ago,
so I do a little bit of a lot.
How long ago was it when you were on? How long ago was it, roughly, again, when you were first on the Sports Doctor?
Oh, first on? Yeah. Goodness. I think it was like 2014 or 2015.
Yes, absolutely.
And I've been on a few times since then, so...
Yeah, well,
but it's been a few years now since my last appearance, so I'm
yes.
so glad to be back.
Big, big part of our faculty of educators and so many different topics. You know, the idea of chronic pain, pain management at clinics are popping up all over the place. There's been tremendous advancement in regenerative medicine and pain medicine in some instances to try to get away from the drug culture and the opioid nightmare. But one of the chapters in my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, as you know, Barbie, is youth sports and drugs, where I'm talking about even over-the-counter pain medicines that these kids start depending on very, very early because of the demand of the sport, et cetera. But chronic pain is a whole other world, isn't it?
It is. And I was an athlete. I cheered from age 4 all the way through college, and then I became a coach at a Division I university. And I know the pressures that my coaches put on me and that I put on my student athletes. And if I could go back now, knowing what chronic pain is and how I could have prevented it in so many different areas of my life and other athletes' lives, I would be a totally different coach now than I was going through all the years as a quote athlete and pushing myself and pushing other people And like you said, people do turn to even over-the-counter medications, too many NSAIDs. You know, they're like, oh, get away from the opiates, so let's take NSAIDs.
Yes.
And then they have problems and challenges with that. So it really comes down to individually, what does that patient in front of you need as a professional,
yes.
You know, a healthcare doctor, nurse practitioner, physical therapist. It isn't always medication. It could be a wide variety of treatment modalities that patient needs. But once it turns chronic, there are less options available. So if you can take care of something that you have the ability to prevent ahead of time or take care of yourself so that maybe something that, for me, having RSD, I didn't have it as a young child. I was 29 when I developed it. I could have done some things to prevent it from getting so bad, but I just didn't know. Knowing what to do before it affects you is very, very important. And once it does affect you, how do you go about getting through it and living life and continuing to be a positive aspect in society as someone who can contribute to society on any level? Is important to strive to keep, and if you've lost it, get back to.
Yeah, reflex sympathetic dystrophy, RSD, is a condition that could come from semi-nowhere, from a minor injury that just doesn't heal. And the whole sensory system of the body.
Right, and that's where you get chronic. Chronic means that you have this disease or illness for 6 months or longer, and it can be lifelong. But hopefully, like as you said, there's so many different advances coming down the pipeline with genetic testing and treatment options and biosimilars and all different kinds of treatment modalities and medications and even pharmacogenomics. That's the study of an individual and how their genetics interact with each medication. And I've done the pharmacogenomics testing, and that just getting those results has changed my outlook on medications and what to take and when to take it. And for years, I'm like, oh, this lidocaine isn't doing me any good. It's a waste of effort. And I'm just ingesting all of this stuff through my skin or lotions IVs. And what's it doing for me? Turns out I got my genetic results back. It's doing nothing for me. I'm a rapid metabolizer of it, and I got zero benefit, but I had got all these years of exposure to my organs of a medication that doesn't work for me.
Well, this is where, again, individual attention is so important for any chronic pain person. You know, for decades, I've watched the help of medical marijuana, the CBD products. The idea of naturally helping reduce inflammation, control pain, help sleep. You know, we've talked about holistic medicine on the Sports Doctor for like 30 years, give or take a few weeks. And the idea, again, of having to depend on medicine. Medicines are very powerful, and they're a big, big weapon. It just has become, in some instances, medicine and sports medicine was sold the myth that these opioids were safe. And they were so overprescribed for all sorts of conditions. And then it exploded in everybody's face that, guess what? This stuff is addictive. And this is what part of all of these nightmares as patients, athletes who needed to get better tomorrow. Don't you understand, Dr. Bob? My kids got to play. Don't you understand, Aya? Now, by the way, some of the best athletes I've ever seen over the years were cheerleaders. And people sometimes didn't get it, how physical
cheerleading is. You have to be very athletic to be a cheerleader. And even if you're not competing as a cheerleader, you're a sideline cheerleader, you still have to be able to be flexible
and have body awareness and
have muscle strength and core strength and be at the top of your game, even as a sideline cheerleader. So it definitely takes a lot to be an athletic, be an athlete of any kind. But cheerleading and dancing, gymnastics, it's all intertwined now. and it takes a lot of athletic ability.
I guess
I'm
throwing my dances and
accomplish
my
the skills of the sport in a safe way. So,
Barbie.
It is a sport, and website? You know, if you can take care of yourself as an athlete and maybe sit out a game or two, which feels very difficult mentally and physically to do, it could save you in the future if you give your body that time to heal in a natural way versus pushing through and pushing through and pushing through until you know, you turn 30 and all of a sudden you're in a wheelchair and you can't walk anymore, in my case. So it really does matter what you're doing with your body and how you're doing it and how you're responding to it. And just because something gets you through this moment doesn't mean that it's right for you long term. And be aware of that. Don't get stuck in a habit of taking, you know, ibuprofen every day before you go to practice or before you perform in a game. Make sure that you're doing what you need to do to get your body as fit as it needs to be on the field.
Yeah, prevention a lot. You know, we do a lot of screening. Again, if somebody has foot imbalances, imagine somebody who's bow-legged, imagine somebody who's flat-footed, imagine somebody's got one leg longer than another, someone's very stiff-jointed, somebody's very, very flexible. Being proactive in trying to deal with mechanical problems many times makes a huge difference in areas that become so problematic that chronic pain becomes part of the equation. Barbie, what's the best website people could find out about your organization?
Internationalpain.org.
International Pain.
Internationalpain.org.
Yes. So again, whether we're talking about the highest level of sports and sports medicine, whether we're talking about the overachiever, the weekend warrior, you know, the idea, again, you know, the United States is one of only two countries in the world that allows constant advertising on television of prescription medicines ad nauseum. The only,
really interesting. It should be something that is, if you need a medication, it should be between you and your provider to look at and decide what will be best and how to go about doing that to best fulfill what your needs are. And if it's advertised on TV, it can affect what the perception of it is or make it feel safer.
They make
instructions and talk to the pharmacist, right? When you're picking up a medication, or if you've been on a medication long term, talk to the pharmacist, talk to your doctors and medical providers about what that medication's doing to you. Is it still right for you? Because there's new things coming down the pipeline all the time. Find out what is best for you and work with your medical providers to make sure that you're still doing it appropriately. Even if it's been 5 years and you feel like a pro yourself, it doesn't mean that that medication is the right one for you. Have that conversation.
You know, I want to talk more, Barbie, about what the organization does for individuals and some of these other services, how important exercise is, the mental side of it. When we come back, we're talking with Barbie Engle, again, the chronic pain educator, patient advocate. We'll be right back. It's the Sports Doc. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his 3 decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER, Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of Sports Doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is a well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. We're speaking with Barbie Engel, returning over these past, who knows, 5-6 years. She's a chronic pain educator. She's a patient advocate. She's an author, speaker, and the president of International Pain Foundation. We were talking before the break, Barbie, about, you know, both the mental challenging component of people who are dealing with especially chronic pain, as well as the physical side. Talk a little bit about both and how you're educating some of the people who are looking for guidance.
Sure. So as you said, chronic pain, living with chronic pain diseases, it affects you physically, of course, but people tend to overlook the mental aspects and emotional aspects of living with chronic pain. And for me, I went from the top of the world, top of my field as an athlete and as a coach to losing it all. And of course, that's going to affect somebody mentally. But not only does it affect you by, you know, for me, I lost my marriage, my first marriage, and I lost my ability to drive, and I lost my ability to be physically active. It definitely brought on depression and anxiety and a lot of challenges mentally that I had to get over, because everything of who I was tied into being a coach and being a cheerleader. And I did not realize how much of who I was tied into what I did instead of who I am. And that happens with a lot of people, whether you're an athlete that loses your abilities, or you're just an artist, or wherever, whatever your special talents are, losing that brings on these mental challenges as well. And being strong mentally and physically is very important, because if one area is weak, then the other areas can't be used to their maximum strength. They all intertwine together. And also, when you're going through depression because you've lost these things, or because you have a chemical imbalance of some sort because of the chronic pain or the trauma that's been happening in your body, it can actually physically change the structure of your brain. And if you're thinking negatively and letting the mental aspects of what you're going through bring you down all the time, it can take a lot out of how you live, and it makes challenges harder to get through and harder to work through. So it's really important to focus on both your physical health as well as your mental health, and stay strong as you can in both, even with the challenges you face in both areas. And one of the ways that I did that, a counselor taught me after I lost everything in my life crashed around me. I went to counseling, and one of the lessons that I learned was writing down my I ams and having that list about myself that I can go back to. And if I'm having a challenging moment or few days or weeks with my health, and I can turn to that I am list and remind myself and get myself out of the depressed state or the emotional negativity that's in my life, even if it doesn't just stop instantly, because it doesn't do that for too many people.
What are you doing physically,
Barbie? Through those times easier,
Barbie,
when you remember who you are at your core, and who you are is not what you do. Who you are is energetic and courteous and curious and attentive and balanced and kind and knowledgeable. And reminding yourself of all the positive things that you are in your life. And you'll see me a lot of times on social media talking about my I ams. And I use that, if I'm having a bad time, I'll use it to pump myself up. But I also use it to show other people that, hey, if you're going through a bad time, think about the positives. What is coming out of this situation? How can you make it better? Where should your focus be? What are your goals, long-term and short-term? And using that to propel yourself through life instead of getting stuck in the depression, the negativity, and the anxiety that comes with living in pain. And you can make it through, and it's easier when you're positive. It doesn't necessarily take the pain away physically. It just helps you get through life easier.
What do you find is the physical component, Barbie? What are some of the things that physically that you're doing that you can still do that you find helpful?
Well, I try to do a little bit at a time and give myself a win, like a celebration for doing what I can do. If I can try to take a walk each morning, or my husband and I have some balance trouble still, even though you see me online and I look like I'm totally healthy, I still have some challenging physical issues. So we went and got a tandem bicycle, so that I don't have to worry about balancing, but I still get to be out and ride the tandem bike. I get to communicate with my husband, go
Great
through
idea.
The town, the neighborhood, wherever we want to go biking that day. And it allows me to feel like, oh, I got a win. I was physically able to get on a bike and ride it. Now I use an adaptive tool, such as a tandem bike, to make sure that this gets done. But I'm not afraid to use a tool to continue to live life. If I need that tool, I use it. If I don't need the tool, then you know, I don't use it. But I kind of looked at my wheelchair that way as well. And there's still times now, because I come in and out of remission, that I have had to use my wheelchair for a day or a week at a time. And I strive, my goal is to get out of the wheelchair. But if I need it to live through that moment, I use it as a tool, knowing that
yes.
when I don't need it, I can let that tool go, and I don't
Barbie,
have
give
to
me the,
use it every day in my life. But if
fly,
I had to use it every day in my life like I did for the 7 years, then
Barbie,
that's okay
as well. Barbie,
give
me the website again. Give me the I knew the time would fly with you. Give me the website people could find out about the organization.
Absolutely. Check out internationalpain.org. We can help any chronic pain patients, caregivers, and providers who are needing resources and help so that they can find hope.
Give it to me, internationalpain.org?
Yes.
Barbie, hold on. Thank you so much. Everybody, we'll be right back. Sports Doc. If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey everybody, MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his 3 decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER, Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of sports doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent. With the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue, go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's the Sports Doctor's In segment. We review some upcoming guests, answer some emails, and include some wisdom with Bob Guida. And this time we're going to talk a little bit about his concern regarding warming up, how important warming up is, but the concern of overstretching and causing more trouble than we're trying to prevent, proper technique being so important. And the idea being that sometimes overzealousness and overstretching, push that leg up, ends up aggravating attachments and capsules around muscles and causing trouble. And Bob would always make a very big deal about the fact that he wasn't saying don't warm up. He was just saying that there were superior ways, dynamic range of motion, something we'll talk about next week, being one of them. So don't overstretch. Don't overbounce. Don't push your body past where it is. Including stretching in your program is good, but make sure your technique is good. Some great guests upcoming next week. One of our faves, Kirk Mango. Kirk is a former NCAA gymnastics champion. He was in the physical education world for decades. He's the author of Becoming a True Champion. And he'll be coming back, Dr. Kelly Bonhoff. She's going to talk about trauma drama, and all of that, again, that the mental game, the dealing with after an injury, dealing with something going on in the family, and it is just affecting everything involving health and wellness. The following week, we're going to have a couple on David and Carla Main. More than healthy, a discussion of gut health, leaky gut, and overall fitness and wellness. Some great guests and shows coming up. Time for a few emails. Pat says, both my daughters, they're now adults. They grew up as figure skaters. They loved Evan Lysacek. Talk about him a little bit. You know, I met Evan Lysacek before he was 10 years old. He was part of a screening of a great, great coach, Candy Brown, who was the first figure skating coach I ever met in the late 70s. She was already way ahead of her time, paying attention to things like orthotics and mental training, et cetera. And in the early 90s, one of her students, young Evan Lysacek, was one of the kids we screened. We were looking at him walk, standing, watching his feet,
like we talk about, put Evan in orthotics when he was like 10. Really, the rest was history. The exciting ride of watching this kid become the best in the world and winning the Olympic gold medal in 2010. A terrific young man, somebody who represents his country still around the world with different international sports and wellness activities. And Evan was a champion at every level. On those ages, the challenges that go involved in with some of those things, a great dissociation. Tom says, my 40-year-old sister, she's a jogger. She was diagnosed with Morton's neuroma. Is that always a surgery? You know, Tom, Morton's neuroma is a thickening or inflammation of the nerve that runs between the third and fourth toes. The nerves run between all the toes, but there's a particular connection there. Can be susceptible to stress. And like building up calluses, that nerve might thicken. Imagine somebody who's got a very high arch foot. They're always putting pressure on the ball of the foot. Maybe they're pounding it. Maybe they aggravate it. And we end up with a neuroma, which can be a surgical problem, but not all the time. We've had great success with conservative care, orthotics, redistributing weight, very, very helpful, injections, physical therapy. I need to know all those things won't work before I consider surgery. And if that's the first diagnosis, I'll get another opinion. You know, Ina says, we really, really enjoyed your article, Women in High Heels Accepting the Challenge. What's the big deal? You know, good question. The big deal is that a lot of women wear heels. There's a lot of concern about the ball of the foot problems because of the pressure we put on the ball of the foot. Or the jamming the foot in a tight, tight toe box, let alone the strain on the whole posture. Once you're in a heel an inch and a half or 2 inches, and by the way, the article, if you go to sportsdoctorradio.com and you go over newspaper articles, you'll find it under podiatry management, which is the whole idea of strengthening your feet and ankles, paying big attention to the heel height, the variety of heel height, trying to stay out of trouble. Happy fourth anniversary to our book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. My co-author, Sharky Zartman, was a guest. She's a Hall of Fame volleyball player and coach, a talk show host, yoga instructor, and she was on with us last week. I can't believe it's been 4 years. You know, it's amazing the big points we make in the book, besides the great cartoons, are as important now as ever, the whole area of the physical and mental pressure on these kids and families with injuries physically, from overuse, from repetitive motion injuries, to the whole mental side of pressure. And again, the book, which really talks about Sports Parenting 101, which Sharky really, really discusses, including coach abuse, in so many different areas, the idea of the sports doctor's in. We talk about shoes. We talk about orthotics. We talk about concussions. We talk about the challenges of some of these contact sports and aspects of sports medicine. The coming together of eight experts in nutrition, in mental and physical training, in coaching, in psychiatry, all contributing. And then the parents' perspectives. Matter of fact, our guest next week, Kurt Mango, one of the parents' perspectives, both his daughters became Division I athletes. Catch you next week, everybody. Happy Stress Awareness Month. The Sports Doctor.